Lord, teach us, continue to teach us and grow us this morning as we get into your word and study some things. Open our minds to your wisdom and your knowledge. And I request your anointing on all of this part of the service as well, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Reset. Let's take a look at this idea of implementing a spiritual reset in our lives on occasions. Is that biblical? What's the relevance, the importance of that? Let's first turn to Romans 12, 1. As you're turning there, I want to encourage you to think about who Paul is writing this to, not just the Romans, but the saints of Romans is who he's writing it to, the church there. And by church, I don't mean just one church here, but the group in total, the church, the believers. Rome was a big place, so there may have been several homes and buildings that housed churches, and they would circulate this letter. So I want you to think about who he's writing this to. Romans 12, 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, a lot of times we read this second verse, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. We read that kind of as a salvation type of scripture, which it is. It's good advice for a new convert as well. But he's not giving it to brand new converts. He's suggesting this to us, to Christians as well, church folk like you and I. So what it seems like, because he uses the word renew, which is in the Greek, is translated from the Greek word anakenu. Anakenu. Ana means up. Kenu means new. So basically it means new up. Renovate. To make new. So we see this. They were at this one status spiritually. But they slowly, it seems like, from the words I read here, slowly begin to conform to the world. It wasn't an overnight thing. They just slowly begin to conform to the world. He says, don't conform to the world. Be transformed. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get metamorphosis. Transform, be changed. He uses the same words again in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Did you hear that? I turned 13 for a second. Second Corinthians 4:16, I pray for a young life, but not in the voice, Lord. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Renew, renew, renew. There's reason. There's a good reason for spiritual resets. We call them resets because we have these on our electric devices. We have these factory reset buttons. You like factory reset buttons? I love them unless I accidentally hit one. But when you need them, they're very nice. Factory reset. So I use that word. Paul used renew to make new again. And one of the reasons that I love the New Year's Eve time of year is because it's naturally a great opportunity for us to hit reset. It kind of leans itself in that direction. Not that you shouldn't be looking for resets throughout the year, but especially during New Year's, it's like New Year, try some new things. Where do I need to reset in my life? What reset buttons do I need to pick? Where is my relationship with God? Is it growing? Are you closer this Sunday to God than you were the first Sunday of 2023? Does that relationship show in your daily life? Is it an obvious top priority in your daily life? Or do we need to look and stop and do a reset, a spiritual reset? Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, "And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." Now, the Greeks had several tenses of verbs. We have three, like past, present, future. They had, I think, 5 to 7. And this tense of verb that they're using here is not a one-time thing. It doesn't show you this is what you want to do. Renew your life and then you're good to go. This is a continual process, and it's important that we realize that. This isn't just a one-time thing. It's like when Paul says we are made new creatures. That's a continual process. We are made new immediately when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Things change right off the bat. But we have to continue to be renewed, like Paul says, day by day. Renew, renew, renew. The psalmist in 51:10 said, "Create in me a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Now, if we look at the words that the psalmist says here, use this word renew, it implies that at one time he had it. He lost it, or it has become non-influential in his life, and he wants it back again. He actually said that he hadn't lost the Spirit. He said, "Don't take the Spirit from me," but he had lost the impact of the Spirit because he says, "Renew my joy for salvation." He lost his joy of being saved. Another psalmist wrote in 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Involve God in your reset. If you're thinking about doing a reset, I strongly suggest that we at least take some of these steps. Involve God in that, though. Don't try to figure everything out for yourself. Involve God. God, where do I need to reset? Search me, O God. I firmly believe that resets are beneficial. And like I said, not just around New Year's Eve all year long, but especially during New Year's Eve, it just seems to lend itself that way. That's what I think about. Be brave enough to ask yourself brutally honest questions with brutally honest answers. That's one of the things I think would benefit this culture in America today. Self-awareness. Hello? But we can become more self-aware. Please do that. Become self-aware. Self-examination. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you 3 tools today that will help you in your reset process this year as you spiritually reset. I did not grab a... I need a, thank you. Look at that. She's on the ball. Easy. I'm going to give you 3 tools. Are you ready? Number 1, self-examination. How critical is the spiritual self-examination? Is it biblical? I know in Matthew and Luke record Jesus is saying, consider that big log sticking out of your head before you try to get a stick out of somebody else's eye, a speck. Consider that. Consider what's going on with you. Psalms 119:59 says, "I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies." Lamentations says, Lamentations 3:40, "Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord." 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul writes, "But a man must examine himself." And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink the cup. We're going to do communion a little bit later. Examine yourself, Paul says. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. That's kind of right out there, isn't it? That's right there. It's in your face. You can't get around that. You're not going to explain that with any Greek words. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? That is, unless you failed the test. Ask yourself this spiritual question. Am I spiritually prepared for the future? When you examine yourself, you're looking at yourself. Okay, what am I looking at? What I do, and how I do it, my process spiritually, my relationship with God. Am I spiritually ready for the future? Well, that's a weird question, Pastor Jeff. Am I spiritually ready for the future? Are you ready for whatever God has for you? God tells his people in Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your tent pegs, for you will spread abroad to the left and the right, and your descendants will possess nations. Sometimes we need to prepare before we receive. What about that? They weren't having a whole ton of their nation growing during this time. They were in captivity. But he says, before you get the blessing, stretch out your tent. Get ready. Spiritually, self-examine and stretch out your tent. Honest self-examination can be uncomfortable, but I believe it's necessary for proper spiritual growth and a healthy relationship with God. Does anybody remember KJ 5:2? No? KJ 5:2? The Christian rapper? Somebody does. Yes, thank you. This joke is for just you two. He wrote, oh, y'all better check yourself. Nah, y'all better check yourself. Wise words. Okay, it was probably more like, oh, you better check yourself. Nah, you better check yourself. Some of you heard it. Self-examination. Another thing that I want to give you that we can do when we reset our button. Self-examination, number two, remember. The psalmist wrote, forget not his benefits. What did you learn in 2023? Think about that. What did you learn in 2023? Now, I asked somebody a similar question recently. They had a great experience with God and was telling me about it. And I said, you know, what did you learn from that? And the answer was, I didn't learn anything new. I just, you know. And I've heard this answer several times when I ask this question, not to anybody here in this church, but other people. But the answer is usually, well, I didn't learn anything new. And I'm like, why is it so uncomfortable for us to admit that we learned something new? It happens all the time, and it should happen. I've been in Christian schools, Christian college, read the Bible. Most of my life was pretty good most of my life, but there's still things that I read from the Bible and just recently, and I say, oh God, you should have let me in on this a long time ago. Have you ever felt like that? That's okay. It's embarrassing sometimes that, well, you should have known that, Jeff. We all knew that. You're a preacher. You should have known that too. It's okay. Sometimes people learn different things at different times. Don't be afraid to learn. It's good. It's healthy. As a matter of fact, I think it would be less healthy and even more embarrassing to go through an encounter with God and say that I didn't learn anything. You got to keep learning. Remember what you've learned. Write it down. Make a book. Make notes. Set up memorabilia about it. Most importantly, apply it to your life. Remember and apply it to your life. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:14, continue in what you have firmly believed, what you have learned and firmly believed. Live it. One of the detrimental things that I think Christians do sometimes is they get real busy in praying, God, what's the next step? I need your direction. I need your guidance. What do I do now? I'm in this situation. Please help me. What do I do next? And we pray for God's direction. It doesn't seem like we're getting it. And I think perhaps God is waiting for you to acknowledge and obey the first step that he gave you. We have to complete step one before he gives us step two. Maybe we need to go back and say, God, instead of me just jumping off here, what is it that, what was the first thing that God told me to do? Look at what God has taught you and put it into your daily living practices. It could be something you've learned in your Bible study, your own prayer time, and it could be a video, a song, a moment in nature. Cherish those times that God has taught you something and sparked something inside of you. God speaks to us all the time. I think sometimes we just fail to listen properly. The only downside to learning something new is the responsibility that comes with it. However, when you implement it in your life, it's not a downside at all. It's a bigger blessing. Ephesians 2:11 says this, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by in the flesh with human hands. But this, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Remember that you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember you were strangers to the covenants of promise. Remember, you had no hope. You were without God in the world. That applies to us as well. You know that? Remember. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have a good excuse anymore. We're going to have to remember where we were. Remember that we were without God. And verse 13 says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember that. Apply that to your life. James 1:23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. So you hear the word, you don't do it. It's like you look at your face in the mirror, and once he's looked at himself, gone away, he's immediately forgotten what a kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Reflect on what God has taught you, how he has blessed you, and apply that to your life. Reflect on it and do it. So we have self-examination. Remember what God has done for you, what you learned, and apply it. And number three, stay pliable and willing to learn. Stay pliable. This is an uncomfortable one. I want to challenge you today, to be honest with you. I'm challenged and God challenged me with this message, so it's only right that I should want to challenge you and make you uncomfortable as well. You're welcome. Stay pliable and willing to learn. Psalms 37, delight yourself. Get this. I love this. Watch this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I used to believe that this meant, it sounds like God gives me whatever my heart desires, right? But that's not exactly how it works out. When you pray about this and study it, it's not that God gives you your heart's desires. It's that God gives you the desires that you happen to have in your heart. See the difference? I don't get anything I want. He supplies me with the want. I want different things now because I delight myself in Him. Now, get this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Comes from a Hebrew word, onog. You know what delight means there? Translated to this word? To be soft or pliable. So when I'm soft, I'm pliable. Lord, bend me to your will. Then he begins to put desires in my heart. They're not desires that I've come up with. They're God-given desires. Because I've been pliable to him. I'm bending to his will. I'm praying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, Lord, be done in my life. Just like your will is done in heaven. Not my will, your will. Jeremiah 18:5. This is the story about the clay and the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you at my hand, O house of Israel. Do we yield like that when we pray? The way that we pray, the words that we say, do we even allow ourselves to be pliable enough? Are we truly praying God's will? Are we praying what we want? Do we always pray, your will be done? Be pliable. Well, we've always done it that way. Have you heard that saying? We've always done it that way. It's the opposite of pliable. Many business experts, I read this from several sites, many business experts have said that those are the most expensive words known to mankind. The most expensive phrase ever to grace the English language is, well, we've always done it that way. Let me give you a quick example. In the year 2000, a brand new company, kind of up and coming, called Netflix. Digital movies. Sounds crazy at the time. The CEO has a meeting with Blockbuster Video. You remember Blockbuster Videos? Yeah. The CEO of Netflix said, listen, we should go into a partnership. You guys will handle the physical movie rentals and we'll handle the digital movie rentals, but we'll all kind of be under the same umbrella. And that CEO was laughed out of the office. 7 years go by, and a lot of things change. All of a sudden, Netflix is worth millions. And Blockbuster is beginning to have some troubles. And by 2010, Blockbuster files for bankruptcy, and Netflix was worth hundreds of millions. But we've always done it that way. It's a pricey statement. In your spiritual life, but I've always done it that way. It's expensive, could cost you. Henry Ford said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So, oh, I cannot believe I did that, Jill. I'm so sorry. Let me tell you another quick story. Husband and wife was cooking supper one time, and pot roast. The wife cuts the ends off the pot roast and puts it in the pan. Husband notices, and he says, by the way, I've seen you do that several times. Why do you cut the ends off the pot roast before you put it in the pan? And she's like, I don't know. That's how my mom always did it. Mom taught me that. That's how it's always done. I just figure everybody does. So they got curious and they called Mom. Mom, why is it that you cook that you cut the end of the pot roast off of the roast before you put it in? And Mom's like, man, Nana told me to do it that way. That's how she did it. It's been going on for years and years. Well, they didn't knew that Mom didn't know the real reason, and I wonder what the real reason is. Why is she cutting off the end of the pot roast? So they call Nana, and Nana, why is it that you cut the ends of the pot roast off before you put it in the pot? Said, well, because it had to fit in the pot. That's as big as a pot I had, and so I had to cut the ends off. So all these years, this family's been cutting off the ends of their pot roast, and they didn't need to. Be pliable and willing. Why is it that we do something a certain way? Just because something has been always done a certain way doesn't always mean that it's the right way for right now. There may have been a time, and that was a perfect process, and it needed to happen that way. Do you know how many businesses have failed because they continue to do something just because it always been done that way, and they never bothered to reset and think, what is it that we need to be pliable about? Where do we need to bend our processes a bit? It may have been exactly what was supposed to be, but at this time, we need to be pliable enough to self-examine. It's like that other saying, the advice, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You heard that? If it's not broke, don't fix it. The enemy of innovation is that phrase. If it's not broke, don't fix it. It may not be broke, but it may be improved if we're bendable and ready for it. Everybody here like change? Sometimes we have to change. Growth, believe it or not, requires change. It's required. A plant does not grow unless it changes. Seeds. A day doesn't grow without changes. A human doesn't grow without changes. Sometimes we have that same mentality in our lives. We don't want to change. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. In other words, I'm going to church. I'm living right. You know the saying, I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with the girls that do. And I'm doing good. I'm living in church. I've got good friends and all that stuff. So I'm good to go. But what if God wants to do something new and more for you in 2024? Would you be willing and able to partner with Him, even though that may require a bit of a change? In the women's Sunday school class, Jill was telling me, and they're in John 3, they're talking about the Nicodemus story. And I want you to imagine that real quick. Nicodemus, the whole identity of his people, the Jewish nation, the whole identity is a religious identity. You know, the Jews are the only ones that they don't hail from a certain country. We called them Israelites, but that's not where they started. The Jewish people is about a bloodline. It's not about where they're from. It's about a bloodline. Religion is their identity. Nicodemus was one of the top teachers, church leaders, spiritual leaders, and even political at that time in his community. And he sees Jesus and he's doing some fantastic stuff. Doing miraculous stuff, and Jesus and Nicodemus is like, I believe that you're from God. I don't think people could do that without God. But Jesus had such a message that was so different, so much change. It was so difficult for Nicodemus to see that. It was almost impossible that Nicodemus could be so pliable to do God's will and God's changes in his life. Stephen tells his accusers in Acts 7:51, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised." Same people could not grasp the changes that God was bringing. Stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just like your father's done. We've always done it that way. Keep learning. What can we learn in 2024? As uncomfortable as change can be, it's often necessary for growth. Be flexible in mind. Desire to learn. It's healthy to learn. Frank Viola said this. He's a Christian author and speaker. He says, the moment you stop being a student, you stop being a teacher. Even Paul, near the end of his life, I never got this till this week. I learned something new this week. This week I learned this. Paul, near the end of his life, his last letter, 2 Timothy 4:13, he asks for three things. Bring these three things back to me. His cloak, his parchment, and books. He still wanted to learn, and he still wanted to teach. You're never too old. You're never too young to continue to learn. Be pliable enough to accept new lessons and changes from God in 2024. So I'm going to wrap this up with this. Remind you of these four things. Remember these steps if you consciously and intentionally, spiritually reset your life this year. I challenge you to do that. Number one, resets are necessary. We read that in the Bible. Don't shy away from a good spiritual reset button. And involve God in your reset. And use these three tools, okay? Number one, self-examination. Take time to check yourself. Right? Ask yourself tough questions, for real. Am I growing a healthy relationship with my Father God? And how does that look like? What does that look like in my life? Is he and his will an obvious top priority in my life? There you go. That's a good one, right? Am I spiritually prepared for the future? Take account your spiritual state and ask yourself, are you ready for more from God? Self-examine and then remember the things that God has taught you and done for you in 2023. Apply those lessons properly. And be thankful, be grateful for all that God's done in 2023. Self-examine, remember, and number four, be pliable and continue to learn. Am I ready for God to do a brand new work in me? Am I willing to question my process in light of my growing relationship with Him? Bend me to your will, O God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not my will. I'll end with this last scripture and then we'll take communion. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. I want you to make this prayer with me today. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Let's think about that as we reset this year.